fast content leader Reverie has been in the market for 8 years. In this interview, its CEO shares how to optimize marketing spend to minimize subscriber acquisition costs and maximize ad revenue. Listen on. This is Endscreen Noise. My name is Colin Dixon, founder and chief analyst at Endscreen Media, and today is April 11th, 2024. Reverie launched in 2015 as the LGBTQ+ community go-to streaming platform. It provides a diverse array of queer movies, TV shows, music, and more. And unlike many other companies launching streaming services over the last 10 years, from the very start, Reverie was focused on free streaming. It has grown into one of the must-have networks on streaming platforms. It's available on many of the most popular FAST services, including WatchFree+, Xumo, and Freevee, on pay platforms like Peacock, DirecTV, and Philo, and has apps in the Google Play and Apple App stores. With 8 years' experience managing Reverie, CEO and co-founder Damian Pelliccioni is a prime mover in the company's success. In this interview, recorded at the TV of Tomorrow show in San Francisco in March 2024, just a couple of weeks ago, he shared with me some of the critical things he has learned along the way that are helping the service thrive. In the interview, he talks about why the company switched marketing to focus more on TV shows and less on channel brands, why engaging the audience on the platforms they use is so important, and how focusing marketing spend on TV platforms has paid off in reduced subscriber acquisition costs and increased ad revenue. If you run a streaming service or work with companies that do, this interview really is essential listening. I learned so much from Damian, and I hope you do too. But before we get to the interview, talking of reaching minority audiences, next Thursday, April 18th at 11 a.m. Pacific, TVOT Connect will delve into how Sabio TV and McDonald's are working together. McDonald's and Sabio executives will be on hand to discuss their partnership to further their common mission to more effectively connect and engage with diverse consumers through a deeper understanding of the communities they represent. As always, TVOT Connect is a live-only session. You gotta be there or you will miss it. And it is your chance to connect with your peers, be heard, and learn. And if you missed a session, don't worry. There will be another in a couple of weeks. To get more information and to sign up for any TVOT Connect session, point your browser at itvt.com/TVOT/connect. That's itvt.com/TVOT/connect. And there you will find lots more information, and as I say, can sign up for the latest session. Now, on with the interview. This is Colin Nixon with Endscreen Media, and I'm speaking with Damian Pelliccioni. He is CEO of Reverie. Damian, hi, how are you doing?
How are you, Colin? It's always a pleasure.
I'm great.
It's great to have this beautiful backdrop over here, the wharf.
Yeah, it's a shot. People can't, so maybe I'll take some pictures and I'll insert that in the video. But we're at TV of Tomorrow show, and Damian, you just had great discussion, great panel, which I wanted to dig in a couple of things with you on. But first, why don't you tell us about Reverie? Tell us what Reverie is.
Yeah. Reverie is the world's largest LGBTQ streamer now, CTV streamer, focused in AVOD and fast space. We're at about 5 million monthly active viewers across 56, 57 different touch points from all the usual suspects, from the Vizios, the Samsungs, the Roku channels of the world. We've got 1,000 hours of content, great movies now from big studios like BBC and Warner Brothers and Lionsgate, and a whole bunch of new opportunities with big titles coming our way, and then original content, We have 5 big flagship shows that we've been kind of really putting out into the market the last couple of years that have been successfully underwritten by big brands like Nike, Lexus, Discover Card, and Hinkle and Procter & Gamble.
Now, you said some very interesting things about brand and how you were at first leading with the Reverie brand.
Yes.
But that's changed a little bit. Is it because of those great shows that you've been producing?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, for us, what we have seen, especially in the last year, we had some real big hits. 2 pieces of IP that really exploded for us. One was our ballroom series around voguing. Ballroom is the catch name, but voguing. For anyone who watched Beyonce's Renaissance tour or Madonna's tour, voguing is back in a big way. Pose on FX, Legendary on HBO Max. We picked up kind of where those shows ended and left off and created our own queer sports league. And the way that we created the show was with 13 cameras, a giant live audience cheering for their favorite Vogue dancer, and in a tournament style where prizes were furnished by Nike and got to be hair products, which is Hinkle, and with an upward prize of like $10,000. This show we shot as a live experience in June last year and ended up being our number one show before Q3 even hit. We released it middle of June during Pride season, and we did 2 million impressions almost in 2 weeks. And then cut to the fall, one of our other big shows, we are in our second season, Drag Latina, an intersectional Spanish and English language drag competition series, very similar to RuPaul, but made for an American Hispanic audience. And these queens that we're competing are from all different intersectionalities and cultural Hispanic backgrounds, hosted by Carmen Ferreira, really famous trans drag artist herself, who used to compete on Drag Race. But that show, sponsored by Verizon and CeraVe Cosmetics, which is L'Oreal, did 40 million impressions in 6 weeks. Wow. And 4.9 of those came from social. It was this ravenous, massive underserved Hispanic audience and a ravenous, massive served black and trans audience that we created this content for and by, and they responded in such a big way. Brands loved it. I actually just presented yesterday at the IPG Magna Upfronts in New York. And after my presentation, I did a little Q&A, and the client was there. We actually met Hinkle, which is the Got To Be brand hair products that underwrote Pride Ball last year. And they stood up and they're like, this is still paying back for us. And I can honestly say, you know, we've doubled down on Reverie for this year, and we're excited to bring back these shows with them. That endorsement was everything for us and really got the room excited.
So that's fantastic. And you mentioned social. One of the things that you said on the panel, which I thought was really interesting, was that you really have not been successful in moving people from social to fast, for example. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, we did a ton of ABC tests over the last 2 years, really. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, trying to build audiences there through content curation and release, and then really push them and move them into like a Samsung or a Vizio or even our O&O fast environments. And we just did not see a return. It was really not translating. You know, our belief, and I think, you know, I use my niece and my nephew, who is of the Gen Z and Alpha generation. They're not used to using a smart television. They don't fully understand it, but they definitely understand TikTok. They definitely understand YouTube. That is their primary source of content consumption. So we realized if we program YouTube, TikTok, Instagram like we would a channel for FAST, even though it's an on-demand environment, not a linear environment, we're going to get a bigger return. And we're addressing an audience that has a different attention span, watches and engages content on different devices, not the major smart sets, right? And it's paid off. We saw an increase in our following, an increase in our engagement when we started to treat social as its own entity separate from FAST channels and not try to use that as a marketing tool to FAST.
So the lesson there really is you have to engage with the viewer where the viewer is, not try and force them into a model that you would prefer them to use.
Yeah, because they're not going to do it. They're not going to move.
Right. Yeah. And now, one of the things about Reverie is that you are the must-have channel in FAST, so you're pretty much on everything.
Yeah.
But you are being very selective about how you spend your marketing dollars, right? Tell us about how you're doing it.
Yeah, so, you know, outside of our earned media, which we have an entire partner marketing team for, pitching the editorials of the Roku channels, the Vizios, and the Samsungs around different multicultural days, you know, whether it's Women's History Month, which we're in right now in March, you know, Pride Month in June, Hispanic History Month, October, November. We get a lot of opportunity to feature content in those earned opportunities by just pitching them. And we have good relationships on that side. But you need to have a healthy relationship of paid. And on the paid side, you know, it's not SEO, it's not social.
Yeah.
We're not at the point where we're really investing in out of home, you know, because we haven't done a major raise to really be able to do a Pluto level or a Tubi level kind of out of home marketing campaign yet. Very soon, hopefully in the next 2 years, we will be. So our model was, let's drop small buckets of spend in Samsung, in Vizio, on Roku, in different places where we already exist, both as a fast channel and our owned and operated app, and AVOD content, which we're distributing to a lot of these platforms, a whole different stream as well. And we immediately started to, month over month, see an increase in that watch time on our fast channels when we were focusing on marketing the fast channels with that spend. We saw an increase in our O&O, just usage all around.
Yep.
And then we were able to derive customer acquisition costs for each of the different platforms, and then kind of make that an average for what our entire marketing budget was for the year. And then marry that with, you know, a platform maybe we're not on, like LG just yet, and say, hey, we'll guarantee X amount of marketing dollars, we'll spend X amount of marketing dollars with you during the life of this contract, right? We'll set a floor CPM for that. That could be a little bit of display, a little bit of video inventory that they're granting us. But what's amazing is, you know, these OEMs are getting guaranteed buys from us.
Yeah.
And we're also, you know, a great partner for them to just distribute content. But that has driven our customer acquisition through the roof, almost 50 to 60% quarter over quarter. And so as we grow and we increase our revenue, we're increasing our spends with all of our OEMs.
So you gave a really incredible number for what your acquisition cost
is. Oh, yeah. It's less. I can't say the exact number, but it's like less than a dollar.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And our lifetime value on a lot of these guys, you know, it's hard with Fast and Avon to assign a lifetime value. It's different if you own the user, but when you don't own the user, we have to equate the watch time a little bit more to LTV. Yeah. And so on the LTV side, you know, we're in the $10 to $15 mark.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now, you also talked about working with a lot of the minority groups.
Yes.
And aside from that just being the right thing to do, there are some actual benefits to you from doing it, right?
So, you know, Revery is certified minority owned and operated business. I am 1/4 owner. The other owners are Leah J. Daniels, African-American ally woman, ally meaning not part of our community, but is, you know, an ally to our community. LaShawn McGee, who is an Army veteran, a lesbian, a woman of color. Christopher Rodriguez, who is Hispanic gay man, non-binary, an immigrant from Canada. We got our National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce certification, Minority Business Enterprise Supply Chain, Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Supply Chain. We're going through the Women's Business Enterprise Supply Chain. These certifications basically prove to the big holdcos, the big brands, that, you know, the ownership is who we say we are. Yep. And because they could take, some of these have taken a year to get these certifications. Some will move as quick as like 90 days to get the certifications, just depending on their process. But it allows us to tap those diversity budgets and really kind of expand our sales efforts and then push on them to try to spend more, because there's benefits. It's not just a social good thing that they're doing. It's not just because LGBTQ is a $1.7 trillion disposable income in the United States. A very affluent market that you definitely, the third largest consumer market, next to Hispanic, after that, before that, white, you know, in the United States specifically. So definitely a market that brands want to tap, no matter what brand you are at any level. But there are certain tax incentives that they get for working with a certified supplier like us. And so this has really scaled our direct sales efforts, and then layer in what we launched last year, Prism Riot, our ad network, quietly launched in Q3, now very loudly launching. You'll see this more in our new fronts and Ken Lyon presentation coming up. But this ad network, multicultural certified, owned and operated, expands our offering into programmatic in a much bigger way. And we now signed folks like Cineverse and Philo and Fubo and Samsung and Vizio and Whirl and all of their channels that we can sell inventory into. So now you're not just buying from Rembry, which is a multicultural certified minority business and ad network. You can also buy through us into them and then receive those incentivizations as well.
That's a fantastic story, Damien.
And we're doing about 100 million CTV ad requests available for sale through Prism Riot. So very exciting new part of our business that is driving our scale right now.
This has been fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Oh my God,
listen,
always a pleasure.
Always tons of energy. I love hearing the great stories and that you're moving forward. So. Congratulations and look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Yeah, can't wait.
Take care.
This podcast is the property of Endscreen Media, all rights reserved.